Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 18th day of November. Oh, happy birthday, Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
The 18th.
Or Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie.
Yep.
The 18th day of November, Anno Domini 2023. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing loose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Did you pay your dues? Here comes, and that means,
you didn't.
Are you a member?
Did you get it, Steve?
No, Jazz 90.1 member.
No, I meant the news.
I said it. Didn't I send it? Too bad. You'll hear it now. First time ever. It'll be exciting. I had a day yesterday. I had a day. Hey, I got the news done.
I'll cut you slack, as I know.
I had a day. About a month ago, Microsoft closed the long-standing loophole that let customers activate Windows 10 and 11 using Windows 7, 8, and 8.1 keys. In addition, the company blocked the free upgrade path, preventing those using pre-Windows 10 versions from updating to newer releases without paying Microsoft for a new license. It now seems that the change is throwing wrenches into systems that should not be affected, which comes as a surprise to almost no one outside of Microsoft. According to several reports, some customers lost activation after changing PC components or performing a BIOS update. The worst part is that the digital license connected to their Microsoft accounts no longer activate the operating system, forcing them to purchase another key or result to questionable activation methods. It is worth noting that Microsoft support confirmed that a hardware change should not block a license key. Bill Babonus, principal software product manager for Windows, confirmed that the company is aware of the problem and is looking into possible solutions. You can check your Windows activation status by heading to Settings, System, Activation State. You can continue using Windows 10 or 11 without an activation for some time while Microsoft is working on resolving the problem. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org is: Windows 10 11 activation keys suddenly stop working. Your choices are: it happened to me, it hasn't happened to me yet, I'm not surprised, Windows, and just switch to Linux. So far, we've got 22 votes. It hasn't happened to me yet has 9. So just switch to Linux has 7. And it hasn't happened to anybody, but the other two have 3 each. And now you can vote in the poll. It's really easy to do. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, to vote in the poll. And, of course, you can join us here live just by making the phone call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. And we will head on over to the phones right now and talk to Dan from Brighton, New York. Hi, Dan. What's up?
Good morning or afternoon. I have a problem with Microsoft Office 365.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to reset the normal .dot or the blank page when you open it up. Currently, when you open up a new page, the cursor is located in the center of the page, left justified, and there's no way to get it to the top of the page in the upper left-hand corner like it's supposed to be.
There must be some sort of indent or tab function in your normal file.
Right. I want to reset the normal. In older versions, you can just delete normal.dot and it'll rebuild it brand new.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Which version of Office is it?
Office 365.
Right, but what version? 1616, 1678, which
right.
the sub version can matter. It may not be DOT, it may be DOTX.
Or DOTM, as in Michael.
Or Microsoft. Yeah.
There you go. Usually,
it is 2016 something. One of those versions, yeah.
Usually, the normal template is in users, whatever your username is, app data, roaming, Microsoft, templates. And you should see a normal dot or .x or .m there. And you can open that and make the changes right there and save it again.
Or just delete it, and it resets everything back to normal. Yeah. I'm at Microsoft's knowledge base trying to find the instructions in this. And they keep pointing to changing your registry key.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, we don't want people changing their registry keys.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Repeat the path again. Users slash
the username slash app data slash roaming for some reason slash Microsoft slash templates. And in that you will find the normal dot DOT or DOTX or DOTM template.
The other way to do it is make your document what you want it to be and then save as a template in that location. So some people don't like the Times New Roman Microsoft defaults to, or Verdana now, right?
Right.
So they'll change it to something they like, and then you can save that as the normal template.
Okay.
And I think I found the right link, and I can post that.
Okay. Yeah, at this point, I can't get to the upper left-hand corner to do anything, and so changing it that way wouldn't work, but
well, you can use the hotkeys. Control F should open up the Control F or Alt F. One of the two opens up the file menu.
Alt F.
You can use the arrow keys.
But the cursor still should move.
Well, if the screen size is wrong, you can either fix the screen size or just use the Alt key to.
Yeah. Well, the screen size or the window size.
I meant the window size.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter where the insertion point is blinking. Your cursor should still go anywhere you want on the screen.
Yeah, okay. It's the insertion point, I guess, would be the right term.
Yeah.
That's kind of stuck halfway down the page and on the left side.
So there's probably a big top margin set up on the page.
Right. So you can either do all the changes or you can just delete the... close Microsoft Office, by the way, before you delete the normal dot, whatever it is. And then make sure you not only close it, but actually quit it. And that might mean going into the...
And restart.
Well, but if as is usual, Microsoft Office is set to run on startup, it'll load some stuff in the background, including the normal dot.
But, I mean, if he... saves every, you know, deletes that file, and then goes back in.
Theoretically, it should work.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if Word is still running in the background, it may still be holding the normal.dotdotm in the background. So, my suggestion would be to make sure you've actually quit.
Good old Microsoft.
Yeah, so once you delete that dot, I'd almost say delete all the dot whatevers, dot M, dot X, dot nothing.
right.
Really.
So it's dot. It's period, D-O-T,
right.
And then nothing, X or M.
Right.
And then that will reset the template back to Microsoft's default.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Thank you very much, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're talking about the Microsoft Activation Service. Wasn't Dan last week trying to activate a Windows XP?
Yes.
And wondering why it didn't work? Well,
maybe now we know.
Yeah. Well, the XP's been gone a long time, but now they closed the loophole that you can't use a 7 license a 7, 8, or 10 license anymore with
right.
11.
Right. Or
I was,
10.
I always wondered why that kept working.
7, 8, or 8.1.
Yeah.
Because
somebody oversighted and didn't
stop
it.
Somebody oversighted. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. It wasn't high on the list.
Yeah.
Now just like somebody, their patches.
Somebody at Microsoft realized they're losing money, then it got high on the list.
Oh, yeah.
So that's understandable. Look, what you have to understand is Microsoft's not in it for you. They're in it for themselves. They're in it to make money. If you're going to keep using Microsoft's products, you're going to keep paying.
And that's
just the way that works. You can always go to LibreOffice or one of the online things like Google or iCloud or iWork. Is it iWork?
They don't use that phrase anymore. So it's the word processing is
part
paid,
of iCloud.
Yeah, part of iCloud yeah. or. At the Apple ships their Office suite for free, Pages, Keynote, Numbers. I'll say Apple Office. I'll often say Apple Office with a lowercase O rather than Microsoft Office, with capital O, trademark.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, for those of you who are already saying, but I have to share people's files with Microsoft Office. I used LibreOffice for 20 years at RIT. Nobody ever knew.
It can take an extra step to say save as Microsoft Word, but Libre has it by default, right?
You can set it to be Word documents by default.
But going back to Windows, the problem Windows is having is that they're not coming up with any great innovative ideas other than rearranging the screens, the toolbars, and renaming some of their apps and that within the control panel. They're really not offering a heck of a lot back compared to the days when we moved from Windows 3 to Windows 5, 7, 8, on up to the current versions. I mean, all they're doing is rearranging stuff and not much more than that. And then taking up more disk space.
Yep.
Granted, you know, it's running fast, demands more power because, yeah. Most of the software is, driving that, and that, you know, you get a new package, it wants more power so it can, you know, work faster for you.
When people write software, when programmers write software, it's not time for rum balls yet, but when people write software...
Soon.
When people write software, they write it on fast machines.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't much care that it's not going to run fast on slow machines.
Yeah.
It costs money to spend time optimizing your code.
Especially today's programs that are literally millions of lines of code.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the even optimizing compilers don't really do as good a job as you might think. So one of the things that gets left out is code optimization. Speeding up the code. Unless you're Steve Gibson. And then you write all your code in hand-coded assembler, and it's as fast as it's possible to get.
Yep.
But for most people, no. And so when you run it on a 5-year-old machine, 7-year-old machine, 3-year-old machine, it's not going to run optimally. It's just not. That's simple.
It's
also, they have 16 gig of RAM, 32 gig of RAM. I've seen programmers saying, I need 64 gig of RAM. Okay, good for you. We, the public, don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd run into that fight all the time with the graphics departments that came to us for their Macs inside their company. They're doing 4 gigs of RAM and 100 meg hard drive. You don't need any more than that. Or you have a 5 meg email quota. You don't need any more. One image in the magazine we're making for you is 100 megs for that one image.
Right.
Yeah. We need as fast as we can get.
We need as much RAM, as much speed, and as much storage as it is possible to get.
Yeah, we had a guy come in this week, and he was looking at a Mac Studio because it comes with 30 graphics cores,
right?
By default,
right?
And I need them. That's my job.
You need them, and that's programmers. And I get it. If you're a programmer, you want to run your compiler in memory.
Yeah,
I absolutely get that.
I used to have 3 computers. I'd have my editor, my compiler, and my Xe.
Right, right.
Because they were all so slow.
Right.
I could be testing the next feature while it was compiling the last one while I'm running the three ago.
Right, right. But what programmers aren't doing today is that setup. They're not taking that old machine and trying to run their software on it. Or they're told, don't bother to optimize. We're going to put out a new version in a month and a half again anyway.
Yeah.
And that takes time, and time is money, and we don't want to spend it optimizing.
Is it perfect is the enemy of good enough?
Yep.
Well, it's just
good,
like,
enough for government work.
Yeah.
Just like my wife's computer. I had to, you know, she kept saying, you know, my machine keeps getting, you know, it seems each week it's getting slower and slower. Finally, I went over to it. She's got a 2 terabyte hard drive in this thing. And I loaded it.
I'm sensing,
loaded it up.
A butt.
So I opened up the file manager. I says, all right, now click on the hard drive. Right click on the hard drive. Okay. And I said, boom, go to the general properties. All of a sudden, that pie opens up. And there's only a little sliver of unblue there. She goes, what's that? I go, you see all that blue? I said, that's all your photos and all that that are taking up most of your resources out of 2 terabytes. You've got maybe a few gig left. What do I do? Remove some of the photos.
But I want everything. All right. Well, then we'll move them to another drive.
Well, I've got...
They're already on another drive.
I've got two other drives.
Another drive.
I says, wait a minute. Why do you need them all here? Well, what happens? I says, wait a minute. You're working on 2023, aren't you? And she goes, yeah. I says, why do you need 2022? Well, what if I got to go back to it? I says, how many times have you gone back to it yet this year? I haven't. Get rid of them. All of a sudden, now she's got over half of the drive back.
Yep.
And then, here's the miracle. The machine is running faster.
Yep.
Yeah!
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was the hero.
I get nervous when my 2 terabyte drive gets under half a terabyte. It's like, this drive is filling up fast.
We had a customer come in the other day, and the drive was okay. 0K.
Oh!
I haven't seen Megs in a while, but that was down to K.
Yeah.
No, it says the drive is okay. No, that's a zero, ma'am.
It's a zero. It's we forget that everything we do
takes up space.
The more programs you load, the more whatever. I was looking at my tablet today. I have an e-ink tablet, 32 gig storage, and I've got a 32 gigs of onboard storage, and I've got a 32 gig micro SD card in.
Mm-hmm.
The 32 gig internal storage is 41% full. And it's all programs.
Yeah. That she doesn't use anymore?
No, they're mine. This is mine.
Oh, your computer.
The 32 gig SD card is only like 9% full. And it's a huge number of books, EPUB books. Because I mostly only use it for reading. But it's the programs that take a lot of space, and we forget when we load a new program and then try it out and then don't ever use it again, we forget to uninstall it.
Yep. Well, I had a customer the other day that needed to upgrade their system. They were like 6 versions behind, but there wasn't enough space. So I had to delete Microsoft Office. There's 10 gigs.
Yeah.
Actually, probably more than, 2 gigs each for each 4 programs. Then there was enough space. Then I could put Office back on again.
Yep. It's you forget how big these programs are.
Yep.
Because back in the day when we used to have to load 22 floppy disks, 3.5-inch floppy disks, we knew how big a program was. Now it's just 5 minutes to download.
And 128 gig disks were big once.
Right.
Tiny now.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Hiya, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi guys. I'm at the stage where I'm quote cutting the cable, and I just wanted the latest and greatest info that you guys have about a service that has the local channels, if possible, the 8, 10, 13, and then it would be great to be able to pick things like the EMC, Bravo, TLC, Hallmark, HGTV, Food Network, stuff like that. And I'll just hang up and let you guys go with it. It would just be great. It would be a huge help for me just so I don't have to do all this research. And
good news, Tim.
Yeah, so. Just those. Go ahead. Stay here with us, Tim, for a minute.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Just those programs that you just talked about are the exact same programs I have, and I'm using Sling. Now, as far as the programs is 8, 10, and 13, you can now get little devices that sit in the window, and they've got a pretty long cable that'll go to the TV for connecting to 8, 10, 13, 21, Fox, on 31 and all that. And that's free. All you do is pay a one-time fee for that little device that sticks up in the window. It's basically an antenna, and it'll pull in all those TV stations, no problem, free of charge. But Sling, it's with all those channels, I think it's up to $50 a month now, and you get all of it. Discovery, the Food Channel, you know, all those. But the best thing I would recommend doing is going through, because they'll the various services, whether you're looking at that or Disney Plus or Paramount Plus, look at all the different ones and what stations they offer. That's why I did this long time ago. I cut the cable and I did my homework for over a year, kind of marking down those my favorite programs. And then I went to the packages, and it sounds like you've already got a good idea what packages you want. See what service provider already has those in their package.
There's a website called suppose.tv. There were already three links in our link list about it.
Yep.
So when you get on it, why don't you write the code to see if that link is already there and then bump it to the top of the list?
Okay.
But what you do, suppose.tv.
I should pin stuff. Don't get me started. I don't have time right now.
Then everything is pinned.
Yeah.
But suppose.tv lets you put in all the channels you want to watch, and it finds the best streaming service for you. I personally went with YouTube TV. That gives you all the local channels on the same interface. The one thing I liked with YouTube TV is it has unlimited DVR. And so my wife and I can both, you know, rack up recorded shows without filling up the DVR.
For 9 months.
Yeah, that's the caveat, for 9 months. So I finally got around to watching the new Quantum Leap, and a couple of the early episodes are gone because they fell off the 9 months. But they replayed a lot of them. So every time it records a repeat, the 9 months starts over again.
Nice.
And so was it Halloween Day? Maybe they did a marathon of Quantum Leap, so it caught up all the first ones again. So now I have to go to the NBC app and fill in on them. But YouTube TV is good for that.
You get actual local.
Yep.
ABC, NBC, CBS.
You get 8, 10, 13.
8, 10, 13.
23, yep. The only thing we don't get is the History Channel.
I watch Forged in Fire.
I get that.
They have
with Sling.
You get it on Sling?
Yep.
But not H2? So History's got several channels.
Right.
We get two of them, but we don't get the one that some show my wife wants to watch is on, because they have a contract with Spectrum. So that's the only place you can see that specific channel. So then you got to go in and watch the shows one by one on the website.
Right. All right.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Yep. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at, I can't tell, where are we? Oh, 35 minutes after, it's right there in front of me. 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, Toll free 800-790-0415.
I got a story for you.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
All right. There is some hope for parents. I was in a well-named store, and this mom and kid, the kid was probably between 10 and 12.
So 11.
Around 11 years old. And he is arguing with his mother because he wants this bigger tablet. She goes, "No, I'll pay for this one." And he's throwing a fit that, like, almost you want to, smack some sense into the kid. Finally, evidently, dad was at the other side of the store, comes over and goes, "What's going on?" She goes, "I told him we'll get him this one, but he's insisting he's got to have this bigger one." He goes, "Problem solved. You're not getting nothing."
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
"Well, no, I'll take this one." "No, we gave you a choice. You weren't happy with that. When you have enough money to buy that bigger one, let me know and I'll bring you back here and we'll get it." And they wound up leaving. He was not happy. And dad goes, "And I don't want to hear a word out of you."
That's sometimes the way it has to be. That's an excellent segue into this news item. In May of this year, Alexis Hancock's daughter got a children's tablet for her birthday.
Ooh.
Being a security researcher, Hancock was immediately worried. As it turns out, Hancock, who works at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, had good reasons to be concerned. Hancock said she found the tablet had a slew of security and privacy issues that could have put her daughter's and other children's data at risk. The Dragon Touch KidsPad Y88X contains traces of a well-known malware, runs a version of Android that was released 5 years ago, comes preloaded with other software that's considered malware and a PUP, potentially unwanted program. Because of its history and extensive system-level permissions to download whatever application it wants, and includes an outdated version of an app store designed specifically for kids. Hancock said she reached out to Dragon Touch to report these issues, but the company never responded. Dragon Touch didn't respond to anybody else's questions either. The first worrying thing Hancock said she found on the tablet were traces of the presence of Core Java, which in January cybersecurity firm Malwarebytes analyzed and concluded was malicious. Also this year, the Electronic Frontier Foundation and independent security researchers discovered the same type of malware embedded in the software of cheap Android-powered TVs. The good news, Hancock said, is that at least the malware seemed inactive and was programmed to send data to dormant servers. The easiest way to kill malware is to kill the servers that they report to. And then let them collect anything they want. They got nowhere to send it.
Yeah.
According to Hancock's technical report, the tablet came preloaded with Core Java, add-ups, and an old version of the KidOZ program. Core Java is known to be a malicious malware program. Add-ups, both malware and a potentially unwanted program for its ability to automatically download and install new malware from the internet. And the KidOZ app collects data and sends the info to KidOZ.net. KidOZ founder Eldad Bentora said that the app is certified to respect COPPA, the U.S. federal law that carves out some online privacy protections for children. COPPA stands for Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And that the app underwent a rigorous assessment process by an FTC-approved COPPA safe harbor program called PREVO, which included a thorough review of our data collection, storage, and uses practices. The Dragon Touch tablet that Hancock analyzed used to be on sale on Amazon until this week when the listing went down, and was replaced for listing with the same tablet, which claims the tablet runs Android 12, which was released in 2021. So that's at least a little bit
newer.
That's a little bit better. Images on the listing, however, still say the tablet runs Android 10, released in 2019. It's unclear how popular these tablets are, but the Amazon listings show more than 1,000 reviews. An Amazon spokesrobot said that the company's looking into these claims and will take appropriate action if needed. Sadly, parents really can't do much about this, and honestly, it shouldn't be left up to them. So, do you trust the gadgets you give your kids? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. toll-free 800-790-0415.
And the fact that they're still for sale on Amazon, you just pulled your power cord out.
No, it's out on purpose.
The fact that they're still for sale on Amazon is probably one of the most frustrating things.
Yeah.
There was an episode recently of Security Now. Steve Gibson wrote a program called ValiDrive to validate your drive.
Yeah.
He bought a dozen USB sticks that seemed too cheap.
You know,
2 terabyte drive for $20.
Yep.
Turned out they're all fake.
Yep.
But what's more insidious is the drive controller is programmed to tell you it's a 2 terabyte drive, to accept 2 terabytes of data being written to it. Just won't return it back because it isn't there.
There isn't any.
Most of the time, he took the drive apart, and there's like a 16 gig SD card in it.
Yep.
So
the first few files you save
work
will be fine.
Well, and every file you save to it says it's saved properly.
Sure.
Because the controller said, yeah, it's fine.
Yep.
And so a customer of his bought one from Amazon, found the problem with it, sent a review to Amazon, because you have to be a verified buyer now.
Right.
Included screenshots from ValiDrive, said it was fake, showed the picture inside being a 16 gigabyte SD card instead of a 2 terabyte SSD. And Amazon replied, basically, we've done our research. Your review is false, so we removed it.
Yep.
So nowhere can you tell in any of the reviews, because there's 1,000 positive reviews that were paid for.
Right.
And so it's in Amazon's best interest to keep fake products online because they keep having sales.
Yep. Yep. It's getting worse. And it's so easy to be scammed by this stuff. Look, the reality is that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's going to pay for something.
Yeah. You're not going to get a 2 terabyte drive for $20.
If you get something like these tablets that are super cheap, something ain't right. And what's usually not right is the fact that there's somebody's paying that company to put something in that machine. You see that all the time with phones.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a phone and it's already loaded up with a bunch of what we call cruft, because that's the polite word for television, for radio.
But hopefully it's not actually malicious. It's
right.
Just crap.
Right. It's just crap. But the point is, somebody had, otherwise you're going to pay $1,000 for that phone because somebody paid, but you don't have to, because somebody paid to put their software on that phone, and that lowered the price to you. The lower the price, the more likely it is that you've got some sort of cruft on that machine somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, I ordered this one device, but I used my Discover card to purchase it. And it was a place in England. And I thought, okay. I checked it out a little bit. And I waited and waited. Didn't get I waited over a month. I didn't get any notice or email that it's coming or anything else. So I just called Discover. I said, hey, I'm not paying the bill. I said, I didn't even get an email for, telling me that it's coming or tracking number or anything else. They go, don't worry. Took it off my bill, said, we'll follow it. They sent me a letter back just this past week. Yeah, your claim has been, taken care of, and they've been notified to pulled off off the web.
Nice, nice.
They got busted.
And particularly at this time of year, you're going to see all kinds of emails.
It's going to get
all kinds of
extremely
great deals.
Bad right now.
Right. Particularly with Black Friday coming up.
Yeah. Hello, that's next week.
Yep. You're going to see an astonishing number of fake emails.
And from the post office, you're going to get things saying, oh, they've got your package, but you need to go to this website and this and that. And
My wife just called me earlier this morning. I was already on the road. She said, are you paying for McAfee for my machine? No, honey, we've got something different on your machine.
This
Why?
Has been a huge surge.
She said, well, I just got an email saying that there was a problem with our payment. Scam. It's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Just dump it. Just ignore it. Yeah. Luckily, she called me rather than saying, oh, okay, I'll pay that bill.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge surge in these fake McAfee messages. There's a new infection process on the Mac that's pretty subtle, and I got to hand it to them. You know how sometimes when you go to a news site, you get a message saying, do you want to get notified of breaking news? the malicious programs are now doing that. Do you want to get notified of breaking news? And you say, okay, sure, and hit yes. And then notifications start popping up. Your McAfee's out of date. Your McAfee's out of date. Your McAfee's out of date.
And interesting.
It's a notification service. It reminds me a couple of years ago when calendar spam got popular. Someone could invite you to an event, and it would show up on your calendar, and it was all spam. So the bad guys are getting sneakier.
They're getting sneakier.
You have to.
And like you say, from this week forward until after the holidays, folks, be aware.
Believe nothing.
That they're going to be out there to scam you, and it's by all means, it is not. You know, I would say weird for you to be very apprehensive about various emails and this other stuff that you might get. Question it. If, you know, it's especially if it's from your bank or anything else, there's still this device called the phone, and you can pick it up and call and talk to a live person, especially at your bank.
Yep. Or if you're set up to do web banking, you should bookmark that page.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says, oh, you've got a problem, don't click on any links in the email. Mm-hmm. Go to the web page that you've already saved for your bank that you got from your bank and look. Because I got one of those just this week. Thank you for your order, $495. Mm-hmm. If you want to dispute this, here's the link.
What's interesting is it will often say if you want to dispute it, rather than to change your order.
Right, right.
That's bad translation from a non-English speaker.
Right. So instead of clicking on the link, mm-hmm. I just went to my bank website and looked.
Yep.
Lo, there was no charge.
Surprise.
You want to be a polite customer and tell them their order was mistaken, and you're trying to help them by saying this order was wrong. And then you click on the link, and
you're caught.
All hell breaks loose. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, we should get back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. I guess for the last month or so now, I have been getting these emails and mail on my Mac that say that my iCloud account and my iCloud storage is full. I need to check in and see about increasing the size of my iCloud storage.
Mm-hmm.
Being the untrusting soul that I am now, I always delete it. I don't even open it. And when I go to my iCloud account, it seems like I have enough storage. So I guess my question is, will Apple ever let me know that my account is or my storage is running out of space, or is that up to me to check?
They will let you know when you're running out of space, but that legitimate message is going to get mixed in with all the fake messages, which is part of the problem. There's also the question of what is running out of space defined as.
Right.
We had a customer the other day, they had, 4.1 gigs used out of 5. You get 5 gigs free. And so they were getting messages that they were running out of space. Okay, so you're using more than 80% of your disk. Now, is it 80%? Is it 90%? Is it 95%? When do they warn you? We don't know. But by you going to your settings and looking, you can be sure how much space is left. So if you have the 50 gig plan and you're at 49, that might be considered running out.
Right. But if you're at the...
I'm nowhere near that. And so what I do, just based on listening to the show, I trust no one.
Perfect.
And I just delete it.
Yep. There are some things you can do that can kind of help. You can look at who it's really from. So in the message header, it'll say from somebody. Probably says Apple.com. Although I've seen a lot of lazy bad guys.
Yeah.
Don't change that anymore. But they can hide the name of who it's from. So if you on the iPhone, if you tap and hold, or on the computer, if you click on the sender address, it will show you what the real sender address was. And it should be Apple.com or iCloud.com, not iCloud.com.ru or something like that. So that
right, now say that again. If I click on the on my desktop, the iMac, if I click on what again?
No, in a message that you get. So in the actual email message, if you click on the sender's name,
okay,
it will show you the address it came from. So just in the view of the message, it shows you the sender name.
Right.
But you don't necessarily see the email address it came from.
No, you don't.
So there's a little tiny arrow at the end of the name most people miss because they're not looking for it. But if you click on the sender's name on that arrow, it will show you the real sender email address.
Oh, I did not know that.
Now there's ways to fix that. So the bad guy can fix it so it really says Apple when it's not. But we're finding out they don't bother.
Yeah, they don't, because most people don't know.
Yeah, most people don't know to look there.
And so, also, they don't look at who sent it.
Yeah.
They just look at the message.
Yeah. Yep.
Look happy.
The other big clue we often see is the message is a giant picture.
Right.
One big picture instead of real text. And that's another clue. Although I had one the other day from Spectrum that three of the links in the message were real to Spectrum, and the one link that said click here to fix your account was the fake one.
Nice.
So that was a kind of a smarter bad guy.
That's nice. That's good job there.
Yeah. So that's the other thing you can do is you can point to the link in the message without clicking, and it will tell you where it's really going.
Pops up at the bottom?
Yeah, or right under the mouse.
Right.
Now, does this work in mail and in Gmail? Because I still get a lot of stuff in mail that I choose to keep coming, and then things in Gmail too, but it'll work in Gmail also?
On the website, I think you right-click on the address to see, and both Nick and I are logging into Gmail, to see where it actually came from.
Okay.
Actually, I don't see. Well, and this one is showing the email address.
Okay, I'm just trying to work along here with you while. Okay.
Yeah, underneath in Gmail, you'll see the who sent it. And
right.
Underneath that, you'll see to me and a little down arrow.
Yeah, okay. There it is.
And if you click on the down arrow, it will tell you who it's from, who it's to, who mailed it, who signed it.
Uh-huh.
So you get a little more information even that way.
And unless they unless they all agree, it's spam.
Yep.
Okay.
Especially if it says it came from Google, but the return address isn't a Gmail address or Google.com, that's a pretty good clue it's fake.
Okay, boy, this is information today. Okay, all right, because I've gotten to the place now, I trust nothing and no one if I don't know who it's coming from, and I don't even try to open it, I just delete it. Now, maybe I'm deleting something important, but I'd sooner not to have to make a trip into you, Steve, because something's infected me.
Yeah, it's almost a shame that the bad guys have to stop giving us notices because they'll get lost in the spam.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can sort of trust is postal mail.
No, you can't.
Well, the postal fraud is still illegal.
True.
So it's much riskier to send postal mail because it can more easily be tracked back to the sender.
And it costs you money.
And it costs you money to send junk mail, so you don't see too many fake postal mail. You see junk mail, but it's legitimate companies trying to sell stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And that other email that that you say is important that you're deleting, if it's really that important, they'll send it again to you.
Yeah.
Well, but I think you're doing the right thing, Larry.
Definitely.
When you go
and
look at your actual iCloud account and see you've got plenty of space, you know it's spam immediately.
Right. Yeah.
Just dump it.
Now, can I just block that then and just be done with it?
If you know the real address that it came from, which you can find. Mm-hmm. We showed you how to do that.
And there's a block sender command in the in one of the menus.
Right.
The problem is you'll probably never get another message from that same sender.
Yeah, it'll be a different one.
It'll be a different sender. So
they're always, If that one's getting bounced, they just move you on up to the next one.
Email is free. Email addresses are free. Yep. It's easy to create a billion of them.
Or steal someone else's, so it adds an error.
And it's not that hard to fake them.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They know enough that if they're using that list for so long that people are going to try to do something and block it, so they just take it from this one and then move it over to this one.
And we've seen a million times where people steal your email address.
Yep.
This is where they use it.
Yep.
Because nobody's going to hit reply. There's no reply. There's nothing to reply to. It's always a click here.
So how did they get my email address in the first place?
Any one of 100 billion ways.
From your friends? Your friends could have you in their list, and you know maybe they don't do due diligence as far as spyware or malware.
Or they bought a list from some place you put your legit email address
in. Yeah. So one of the things you can do is go to Have I Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-D. And put in your email address. That will let you know if your email address has been seen in a public breach.
Have I been
pwned? Yeah, P-W-N-E-D. I'll post a link again for that in a second. So that's if your email address has been seen in a public breach. But email addresses are pretty much public knowledge anyway. They get passed around. What I get a kick out of is that most of the breaches I see are bad guys breaking into other bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of my email addresses has been pwned in 13 different data breaches. But one of the things that I do now is because I use Gmail, I have something called plus addressing.
Yep.
So let's say you go to Walmart and they want an email address and your address is larry@gmail.com. You can tell them your address is Larry, the plus sign, Walmart@gmail.com. You'll still get your mail at larry.com, but it'll come to larry+walmart@gmail.com. So if somebody else sends you email to larry+walmart, you know Walmart sold or had your address stolen.
Nothing you can do about it, but at least you know
where it came from, and that's the important part.
Little heads up.
Okay, well, I'm typing like mad and opening these sites up. I'm trying to educate because I just get, I guess the only other thing that bugs me more is the 10,000 phone calls I get a day from Who Shot John and then someplace in New York and someplace in Alaska, and there just seems to be no end to this and no way to stop it.
We've all stopped answering phones, and we look at the call ID. So you look at your call ID. And if you recognize the number, then you answer it. So what the bad guys have started doing is spoofing phone numbers. You know, say our office number is exchange 924. They will use 924-1934.
Right.
And you say, oh, it must be somebody nearby. I'll answer that. Nope, it's a spammer who knows where in the country that is spoofing the phone, which is illegal, but it's very hard to track them down.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. You've given me a lot as usual. I'm going to track it down and I'll educate myself some more.
Perfect. Thanks, Larry. We should talk when we come back about things like Gmail and having spam filters and Google Voice doing spam filtering and all of that. But we're going to take a slightly longer break. The first hour of this show is donezo, but we're going to have a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. More Dave Enright, more Steve Ray, more Nick Francesco, and more you. Give us a call, and we will put you on the air with us, and it'll be a joy and a thrill for all of us. But we are going to take a slightly longer break, take a quick bio break, and relax, and we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 50 years on the air in Rochester.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, we should talk for a minute about what finished the conversation we were having before the break, which was spam and both spam email and spam phone calls. One of the things that I truly love about my Android phone is that Google does an amazing job killing spam phone calls and killing spam texts.
Yep.
Every day I get three or four messages that say spam detected, move to the spam folder. And every time I go look, every single time I go look, it really is spam. I've never been hit with anything that wasn't. And the same is true in my email, and the same is true with the phone. So phone, text, and email, I get very few. That's not that I don't get any, but I get very few calls.
But on our phones, though, you can sit there. If somebody's coming in, I go by the rule that if they're not on my phone list, I hit that button that says scan.
It says screen the phone call. And that's the next thing I was going to say.
Yep.
You can say, and then you get the this call is being answered by the automated voice service. Please tell us what you want. Most of the time they've hung up.
Click.
I like when the computers talk to each other.
Yeah.
I haven't had that one.
And well, so if you've got an Android, I don't know what it is like on the iPhone, but on the Android phone,
similar.
You get very good spam detection to begin with. And then, you know, like with Dave, if it just comes up with a name and a picture,
yep,
I will answer it. If it comes up with just a number, I screen it, means that a couple of times I've heard, this is the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I'll answer this
one.
Yep.
But most of the time, they've hung up by the time the...
Apple added that voicemail screening feature to iOS 17.
Nice.
So we're back in the answering machine days.
Yes, we are.
You can listen to someone reading machine. Steve, I know you're there. Pick up.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, though, even though I screen it, I might be driving, and I don't want to be talking on the phone.
That's right.
There's enough crazies out there. Well, you're trying to drive is enough of a challenge.
That always bugs me a little bit. So we have taken to texting customers, call us when you can. Because so many times we'll call a customer with whatever we need to know about their computer, and they say, well, I'm driving now. Can I call you back later? Sure. Why did you answer?
Right.
You're driving and can't talk. Right. Why did you answer in the first place? And I will text them and call us when you want. We've got one customer who's a doctor whose call ID is blocked, so he always comes up unknown caller. Well, because he doesn't want his personal cell phone being recorded by all his patients.
Fair. That's fair, I guess.
But we know who he is because he's the only one that blocks their call.
Right. No, I have a friend right now who's going through some issues. I told her, you can call me anytime. I won't answer if I'm driving. And I won't answer if I'm in the bathroom.
Other than that,
I will happily answer your call. But I have my rules. I don't answer the phone unless it's my wife or my daughter, and then it's hands-free anyway. So I do answer those. But
mine comes through the hearing aids.
Mine too. So I can answer them. But I don't if I'm driving unless it's my wife or my daughter. And they've got a separate ringtone, which is another beautiful thing. I set a different ringtone for them.
Smart.
So if it comes up with that ringtone, I know to answer it.
Yeah.
I just go to my watch and say, go ahead, answer the call.
Yeah, and like you say, you can do it hands-free and hear it in your hearing aid, and you don't even have to take your eyes off the road.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that works for me, but you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Dan from Brighton. What's up, Dan?
Hey, this is Two for Day. I have a problem with Windows Update. I got an error encountered and clicked on retry and keeps coming up with the same error.
Please hold.
Sorry, you go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I got an error encountered on Windows Update, and I keep trying to do the retry, and it keeps coming up with the same error.
What is the error?
The error is 0x800-70659.
All right. And this is not one of those machines that had a Windows 7 or 8 activation key.
Installation forbidden by system policy. Are you the administrator of this computer trying to install the update?
Yes.
You're sure that you're the administrator?
May have to.
Yes. Is this a laptop?
It is a laptop.
Is it an Acer?
It is an HP.
It's an HP. Interesting.
Are you going through Windows Update on the control panel, or are you trying to install a downloaded file?
It's from the settings.
Okay, settings, Windows Update.
Security.
Okay, have you run the troubleshooter?
Nope.
You should do that.
Okay.
There is a troubleshooter, and you should run that first.
Isn't it in that same dialog that says retry? Isn't there a troubleshoot?
There should be a troubleshoot. And somewhere in Windows Update, there's a troubleshoot
button. On the
button.
Right side.
Yeah.
You should
always run that first, because it may solve or at least tell you what the problem is.
Make sure there's enough disk space. We run into it a lot on iPhones, people trying to update the OS, and their phones are always full, so it fails.
Whatever it tells you is the size of the download. You need three times that much space in order to do the update, because you have to download the software. It then runs the software, so there's now two versions in there, and then there's all the temp files that it creates while it's doing that. So the safest is to have three times the space available. So if it's a 10 gig download, you need 30 gig free.
On the hard drive?
On the hard drive.
Okay. All right. I'll check on that.
All right.
Sometimes there's a way to remove, I'm looking for it now, to remove all of the
old updates.
The updates that have already downloaded, because maybe something's corrupted, and re-download it again. So if you can tell which updates it's installing, whatever the KB number is, and go to Microsoft's download page and download that one manually, that might work.
Okay. I'll give that a go. To build on the spam phone thing, I've got an iPhone, and I was wondering where that screener thing is. You said there's a call screener for iPhones.
It's built in. When someone starts leaving a message, it will say on screen the person is leaving a message and start transcribing it for you.
So I don't have to do anything to get the call screener?
This call screener is there. You then have to hit the screen this call button.
On the iPhone, it does it by itself.
Oh, nice.
And I'm seeing if it's on by default. It must be, because mine started doing it, and I never turned it on. So
I've got an iPhone 8, so I don't know. Maybe it's too old.
It has to be iOS 17.
Okay.
That's where they added the feature. So it actually starts transcribing right on your homepage, so you can see what the person is saying. And then you get the option to answer the call anyway. Or let it continue leaving a voicemail.
Wow. I am getting messages that says possible spam, and I've been blocking those calls, and now I've realized that if they're, let's say, using Steve's business number as the call, and then I block it, I'll never get a call from Steve's business.
Right. That's the danger of blocking calls, is that if, and even blocking emails, if they happen to pick someone's email address that you know, then you're never going to hear from them again. It's unlikely, but there are many Windows viruses that look in your contacts list and then send all of your contacts itself the virus. So you get a message from someone you know, you're more than likely to open it. So it is possible to get fake messages from people you know.
Is there a way to see all the phone numbers that I've blocked so I can unblock some of them?
Yes. Let me find out where that is. There's a list of all the numbers you've blocked. See who can type fastest first. In settings, under phone, under call blocking.
Okay.
And cool. Then similar under messages, you can see messages that you've blocked for text messaging.
All righty. Well, thank you very much again.
Yep.
It's the most helpful.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
On this website, I found the subtitle from How to See Blocked Numbers is, who's on your phone? It's phone's naughty list.
Soundbite, your name. Tell where you go from.
Yeah, it is, I think, becoming so much more necessary to have block lists, to have black lists, whatever you want to call them, of numbers that you just don't want anymore.
I've seen some people have white lists. I try to call them or email them, and I get a message saying this person has, you're not in this person's address book, so you need to jump through these hoops in order to send a message to them. Personally, I don't send that message to that person.
Yeah, generally I don't.
But for the company, we're trying to email them status on their computer. Yeah, okay, I guess we'll do that. So now the problem there is I have my personal business address, and then the company has a business address for sales and a different address for service.
Right.
So we got to make sure all of them are on this person's white list.
Right, yeah. Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's up?
Hi, guys. I just discovered a new Linux distribution which is not listed on DistroWatch, and I went to their webpage, and apparently in order to be listed on DistroWatch, you have to pay them $250 a month to be listed.
Oh, interesting. I never knew that. What's this new Linux distro?
It's called Modicia Linux. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
What? Spell it.
Modicia. It's a Linux for professionals, musicians, photographers, graphic designers, videographers. It's got pre-installed software for those people. It's made by a web company in Italy. And it runs the XFCE desktop, which I know you like.
I love that one.
And it's very sharp. It's very solid, stable. I do a lot of photography.
Right.
And it's got a lot of the apps that I would like to have pre-installed and working. And just for other people that are distro hoppers like me. And it's an interesting thing to check out.
Hmm. Interesting. I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
And it's free, like so many Linuxes are.
Yeah, most of them.
Linuxi? I don't know.
Now, that was another question that came up on Security Now. For when you're shortening the word library, is it lib or lib?
Oh, are we going to go through GIF and GIF again?
Well, no. Is it lib or lib?
Lib.
Lib, L-I-B.
Well, it should be lib because it's library. And then var for variable, is it var or var?
Right.
I always say var.
Yeah. So in that way, you're using the long word, but most people use lib, which is not related to the long word. For library is lib, but variable is var.
Well, they turn around and call liberals libs.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why we have
women's lib from the 60s. Yeah. It's ingrained in our...
Well, so no, that's liberal, so that is an L-I sound.
No, I understand it, but it's still referred to it as a lib.
Seeing L-I-B,
L-I-B.
It's ingrained in many of us that it's lib.
It's lib, not lib.
Right.
Yeah. Lieb.
Lieb. Stop.
Just ignore the second vowel like most Germans, right?
Exactly. And by the way, just to be clear, it's GIF. And that's a hill I'm ready to die on.
Because that's what the original programmer said.
The original programmer called it that.
Yeah.
Because he said...
He could.
Choosy users... choose GIFs. And it's a great pun on the old GIF peanut butter. Commercial, choosy moms choose GIFs. And there are so few good computer puns, we should respect the pun. It's GIF.
So I'm going to tell Jod to talk about his graph.
Exactly. Exactly.
still like Jif peanut butter.
Well, I like Jif peanut butter, too.
Well, it's gotten creamier.
Well, what's interesting is that Jif was, I believe, the first shelf-stable peanut butter. And back in the 30s, people started using it instead of other fats that you would bake with, mm-hmm. like lard or whatever, because it was shelf-stable. You could put it on your shelf, and it would be there 6 months later, and you could, you know, continue to use it. And back during the Depression, if you could have, you know, if you had a choice of two things, one of which would last you 6 months and one of which would last you 2 weeks, you picked the six-month thing.
Well, I can remember as a kid, it was in the 50s.
Remember back that far?
Yep.
Wow.
I remember going up with to the store up on Joseph Avenue with my grandfather. We took this jar. And we went into the store, and there was a big wooden barrel. He took the lid off to the side, set the jar there, and used his scoop and scooped down and pulled out the peanut butter and put that in the jar. And then there was a little ladle that he'd take the ladle off the and take some of the oils and all that, the peanut butter oil, off the top and pour that on the top of the jar to keep it fresh and put the lid back on. He'd weigh it. Back home we go.
That was not shelf stable, and that's the point behind Jif.
With a family,
and then Peter Pan came out, and all the others.
With a family of 19,
peanut butter.
I don't think shelf life was.
This was not an issue.
I think day life was.
So I'm reading an interesting article on Smithsonian Magazine about the history of peanut butter, and it was Kellogg's Food Sanitarium, where they started pushing peanut butter as a plant-based diet.
Right,
and then
right.
World War I came along, and they needed shelf-stable foods to ship to all the troops.
Yep. Well, that's one other thing. Talking about the cable TV and all the different channels. On the history, they have modern Marvel's products that made America.
Yep.
And they've gone through toys. Matter of fact, they just had this past week, we watched one about Trivia Pursuit and all those games. And
I hated Trivial Pursuit because sometimes they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
sometimes they were wrong.
Yeah, but they do food products. They got into Henry Ford and all the automobiles and that. How stubborn he was about changing his Model T, but his son wanted to change things and modernize things to keep it up with the times.
and then came out with the Edsel.
His son Edsel.
Yeah.
That was his name.
So they've got a lot of those shows. There's the snacks that change the world.
Yeah.
The frozen food.
Foods that change the world.
Yeah, foods that change the world.
I have no time to watch television. Yeah. And I'm retired. How the hell do you guys do it?
In the evening, we just sit there and they're running.
You're the one that's up all night. Well,
I am up all night.
Yeah. You just go down the list and there it is. Foods that save the world, or change the world.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing, especially in the cereals.
Yep.
Kellogg's and all those other, and Post brands, the war that was going on between
them. Kellogg's Corn Flakes, you know why they invented those. It was a way to stop people from masturbating.
Yep.
No, I did not.
Oh, yes.
That was the whole point of Kellogg's Sanitarium is...
Yep.
Stop all those horrible sexual urges from eating meat products.
Right.
Well, and then the fight between Kellogg's and Post. Post came out with these better things, got around Kellogg's patents, and it turned out to be grape nuts. But Kellogg had a lock on all the manufacturing material.
The machines.
Yep. And the company said, well, we can't sell any new products to Post because Kellogg's has. But we have these broken ones in the back that I can fix and sell those to you. Okay, sure. I'm not violating the contract of selling new products to you.
Okay, back in the day when I was selling Apple computers,
we
would get faculty from high schools coming to us. And they would say, we have spent our entire budget on computers for the year, but I need more computers. And I would say, do you have repair budget?
Yep.
I can sell you parts. I will sell you a motherboard and a case. And to make it easier for you to carry, I'll put them together for you.
Mm-hmm. At a zero cost line item, right?
At a zero cost, and I will do that as a at, for free because I like you.
Yeah.
So I would sell them not a new computer,
right?
Parts. But all the components.
Yeah, sit there and list all the parts.
Yep.
We had several companies that we had to sell Unix workstations to.
Yeah.
They were, you know, it was BSD Unix running with a mock kernel, and yep. it happened to be a Apple Mac around it.
That's and that's perfectly legitimate.
Yep.
It is a BSD kernel. And it is mock, so that's okay. But yeah, we used to get around there all the time.
Well,
get, November, I get a call from Hi Nick, this is such and so. I'm not going
to
mention his name. We need some repair parts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How many do you need? I need six sets of repair parts. Okay, we can do that.
Isn't that one of your New Year's Eve stories where you had to work New Year's Eve and were mad about it?
Oh, my butt! I was so mad. My butt was blizzarding, and my boss said, "No, you're going to stay open until 6." It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He left so he could get home before the roads closed.
Nice guy.
He said, "You got to stay till 6." And I said, I really don't want to. I got people coming to my house. We're having a party. He said, "Listen, if you stay, I will give you all the what do you call it? Over the
commission. Margin.
Commission. Margin. All the margin. Which in those days, and it isn't anymore, but it was 40%.
The glory days.
The glory days was 40%.
I give you a 20% discount, no problem.
Yep. Yes. So nobody came all day. It was 6 o'clock. I'm locking the door, and behind me the guy says, "Are you open?" I said, "No, sir, I am not." He said, "Let me rephrase that. I have $10,000 to spend before midnight. Are you open?" "Yes, sir, I am."
Am I open. Come on in.
And I sold him the stuff. Monday morning, my boss said, "What is this?" I said, I made a $10,000 sale, and you owe me $4,000. He said, "No, I don't." I looked him in the eye, and I said, "You do, and you know you do." And he got a sheepish look, and he said, "Yes, I do." And he paid him. So, yeah, those were the glory days. We could give people a 20% discount. We still made 20%. Everybody was happy.
And you could count on a person's word.
And you could count on in fact, the place that I worked, the computer center, the gentleman who owned it did not believe in credit cards because it was usury. It was a usury case, and he was a very religious man. So we took checks and cash. That was it. And we got burned once in how many years I worked there?
With a bad check?
Once, yeah. Only once.
Now, is it only if you charge interest?
Yes. Yes.
Or excessive interest, according to Wikipedia.
Well,
what's excessive?
Right. So he just went with interest.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay by cash or check, it's good. If you're paying by credit card, you're paying interest, and it's usury. And he wouldn't be part of it.
The Usury Act was repealed in 1495.
This has nothing to do with an act. This has to do with his religious convictions. But like I said, we got burned once in however many years I worked there. It was. And it was, that's cynic that I am today.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've actually started accepting more checks from people we know. To cut down on credit card fees.
Yep.
A lot of companies, us included, have started passing those fees on to the customers.
You have to.
They make more. We joke, but it's not a joke. New York State and the credit card companies make more money on a sale than we do.
Yep.
And the thing that is, though, is back in the day when I was there, we couldn't pass charges, if they raised different things. We couldn't pass it on back to the customer because, they'd wind up pulling your.
But now you see every place a discount for cash.
Yeah.
And it's basically the 3% that you're not having to pay anymore.
Yeah, the laws have changed. It used to be, I always forget what it was, where you couldn't have a discount for cash or you couldn't charge extra for credit card.
Right,
yeah.
Whatever that law was changed, and now you can do both.
Right. And you see it particularly at gas stations.
Yep. We had a guy that loved $2 bills, Kenny.
Yeah.
And he...
They're still legal.
He would buy everything with $2 bills. He came into the store one day with 1,000 $2 bills.
Nice.
He'd have to go to the federal bank to get... I think he was the only one in Rochester that was circulating them.
It's possible. I still have some.
I think I have one with me.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's been in my wallet a really long time.
Cheese and crackers. Holy crow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
How are you today?
Peachy, you?
I am peachy also.
There you go.
Speaking about the credit cards, now you all know because you either own businesses or been in businesses, don't pay attention to these commercials that say greedy companies are want to take away your points. Those people need to know that us as business owners know we pay those points.
Right, yeah. So yes. That was one of the first things we were shocked about. You know, you get this credit card gives you 3% cash back. They take the extra 3% from us. They don't take it out of their profits.
That's no, of course it. Not.
They take it out of ours.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly right.
Right from the merchant.
And so I just think people need to know that you know, us as retailers pay those points and you know, it's not greed. We want an even playing field.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Completely agree. Same thing with the airline points.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are not free. Somebody pays for those, and that somebody is the retailer.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Though we do have some customers that understand that and will use their credit cards anyway when buying a computer because it's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
So that, so they pay the credit card fee so they can get the airline points.
Right. I don't begrudge them that. I mean, I understand that. I mean, of course, I've got credit cards that have points, too.
Right.
But, you know, people just need to know that there's just needs to be an even playing field there. I think we need to be helped with those points. That's all.
Yep. No, I completely agree.
Yeah. So, but now that I got that over, I don't have anything else to say, so.
There you go. Got it off your chest. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Okay, you guys have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
My sister-in-law flies all over the country for her job. She's got an obscene number of points, airline points. She just paid for my daughter to go to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
It was free.
Yep.
But she used her credit card and said, take it on points.
Yeah.
And the flight was free.
When I used to,
and that didn't even put a dent in the number of points she's got. Yeah. So
when I used to fly a lot, I forgot. You know, million points or whatever it was on Continental.
Oh, boy. There you go. Yeah.
Never got a chance to use them.
Exactly. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment a little bit on what Larry had said about the cloud service being full.
Yeah.
I too have gotten notices on the iCloud being full, and I don't have iCloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sure that it's fake.
Yeah, that's when you're sure. And I think Nick had mentioned some of the ones that said that thank you for your purchase of X amount of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, call this number. And I got halfway into one of those one time, and I got started smelling
a little fish.
Fall critter.
Yeah, fish.
And I remembered you know, some stuff that you had said. So you saved me a lot of money, and always, you know, everybody that, you know, listens to this program, I want to say, dig into your pocket and help out.
Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fred.
You're saving money in the long run.
Yep, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Thank you, Fred. We love to hear that.
One of the things that I do with my phone, I have an Android phone,
mm-hmm.
is I put the Do Not Disturb on all the time.
All the time.
And I just leave it there, and I choose to get calls from favorites.
Yep.
So then anybody that I think I'm going to get a phone call from or family.
That you want to hear from.
Yeah, they want to hear from. Or if somebody says, you know, I'll call you back later, well, then I click them over to the favorite for the time being.
Yeah,
right.
And it and everybody else, the call just goes to voicemail.
Yep. There you go.
So let me lose
the call. You see it in your recent. And it's same with text messages and email.
Yep.
All the same. If it's a text message from my daughter, okay, that's going to ping.
Yep.
And otherwise, it's going to go there. You're not going to lose it, but it's not disturbing you in the middle of whatever.
Right. So let me explain this for everybody else. There is a feature called Do Not Disturb. And what it does is it means you do not get disturbed. For example, it's on right now for me.
Mm-hmm. Because
it's different than sliding the silent switch on.
Right, right. What it means is if somebody texts me or calls me, I don't even get a notification. It doesn't happen until I turn off. And I've got mine set to go from noon to 2. So at 2 o'clock, I generally get a bunch of pop-ups coming up. So, but the point is, you can also set people. You can also set people in your favorites, in your contact list, as your favorites
or VIPs. Apple calls
VIPs. Apple calls them, and then in Do Not Disturb, one of the settings is let the favorites or VIPs through. So even when my phone is on Do Not Disturb, if my daughter calls, I will get that notice. If my wife calls, I will get that notice.
Mm-hmm.
If Fred calls me, I don't get that notice. Sorry, Fred.
Yep, that's right.
But then the other thing that's interesting is if the same person calls back 3 times, it lets it through because they think, oh, God, it must be important. You better let it through if they keep calling back.
I have a friend who does that all the time, and I simply don't answer. I'm sorry, but...
You can still see the phone number of who's calling.
Right.
Yeah.
He calls 3 times in a row. If I don't answer the phone, it's because I'm busy doing something else.
It's called a life.
I am not a slave to my phone. My phone is a slave to me.
On my Samsung phone, I can set that to either accept the calls after the 2 or 3.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's an Android setting. I've just never set it. I should probably look at it.
Yeah, you can turn that off, and it won't pass them through. They still show up in your recent phone call list.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, and when you've been incognito for a minute or two, like you are the 2 hours,
right?
Then you can go back and just look at your recent calls and say, oh, well, yeah, Joe Schmo called me. I'll give him a call back.
Or not.
But, yeah. Or not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah. No, I had a friend that did that. She'd be getting a call. And we're with a group of folks, and all of a sudden, right in the middle, you know, we're talking, all of us talk, she answers her phone, and I go, that's awful rude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's rude if I don't answer. I go, hello, you're with this group of people.
Yep.
What's more important?
I have a friend who does that, too. He cannot not answer the phone, and it annoys the out of me. It just annoys me.
We run into that at work. You know, we're with a customer, and the phone rings. Do we... ignore the customer we're in front of, or do we ignore the customer that's calling?
Well, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
And generally speaking, when I go to lunch with somebody or whatever, or dinner, I put my phone in Do Not Disturb. But I have told people sometimes, you know, my daughter's in Italy. Yeah. If I get a call from her, I'm answering it.
Just those two people, your wife and...
Right. So, but I tell them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to answer anybody else's call, but if those come through, believe me, I'm going to answer.
That's... Yeah. And nobody would... I don't know anybody would have a problem with that.
Nobody does.
No.
Nobody does. Particularly when you tell them ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here for you,
it's
except if it's them.
Yeah.
And that's...
You know, if you've got, like, a doctor's office calling and you've been waiting for that call for...
Exactly.
Whatever, you just... And I think that's really cool that, you know, you tell them ahead of time, I'm waiting for this call. Or
yeah, exactly.
Call.
It's just respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
So it used to be people would... Yeah.
Yeah. Used unfortunately.
To be people would get mad that you would glance at your phone to see what that buzz was.
Yep.
Now I'm glancing at my watch to see what that buzz was.
Right.
Same thing.
Now they think... this lunch has gone on too long. I'm
right,
bored
yeah,
usually now.
You look at your watch and you know, what time is it? No, I'm seeing, no, I don't need to answer that message. Oh, it's my wife. I don't need to answer it right now.
Right, but I will tell people that. I will look at my watch and go, yeah, I don't need to answer that.
Yep.
And it used to be, you got your phone call on your watch? And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. people get it now.
I did have a watch like that, but it, like you and I had the same one, and it died, and it's like,
well, that one died, and this one was on. This was a Black Friday sale a couple of years ago. It was on at ludicrous discount, and I thought, for that amount of money, if it lasts me 6 months, I win. Mm. It's been 2 years, so
yeah.
I'm okay with it.
You're okay.
All right, thanks, Fred. We appreciate that.
And again, put the plug in. You know, you saved me a lot of money, and that's why I went above and beyond the fund drive donations. And
yes, you did, and we thank you so much for that, Fred.
Thank you very much.
And everybody listening should do the same.
Thank you, Fred. Absolutely.
Take care. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's very nice. Fred has been very generous, and we're very appreciative.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fred.
Just because we aren't begging for money in that, you know, I mean, this station doesn't run on air. It is over the air.
It is on air, but...
But it doesn't run on air as far as energy and that. There's electric bills, equipment bills, and everything else. There is some overhead. And even though, like I say, we're not through a fund drive... We still have goals to meet, and we fell a little short on this drive. We could still use your support, so if in the holidays you're into the giving mode, you know, go over to our website and click the donation button and make a holiday donation to keep us.
Big red donate now button is very hard to miss.
And it just helps keep us going, and, you know, these fund drives, the more, you know, the more folks we can get to give, the sooner fund drives can be over with for that particular time frame, because we have met our goal.
And some of the thank you gifts are still there. There were some exclusive ones we had, but some of them are still there.
Right. I mean, I believe the diner card is still part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you can go out to a lot of great places and get 2-for-1s or discount on wineries and everything else. And Rob's constantly.
And that starts at $90.10, that pledge level. And I promise you, I have never run short of that. I always make that money back.
Oh,
every single year. If you go out at all, and I don't, I don't go out much. But when I do, I've got that card, and I still make back my $90.
Nowadays, even more so because you know everybody out there know that, you know, if you go out for an evening, prices have really gone up. And, you know, this can help you save some money and still have a great evening out.
Yep.
So it's a win-win all the way around. We win because you've contributed and supported this show. Because as we've said before, you know, this is a talk show in the middle of a Saturday afternoon on a jazz programming station. Hello? That's not the norm, folks. But
Pokal Computers and in German. It's an eclectic Saturday.
Yeah. It's an eclectic Saturday.
And then the sound bites.
And Sunday.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, he's got a great variety for everybody's music taste. And he offers a lot of great stuff throughout the year. I mean, I know it's a little far away, but, you know, again, we're going to have the Jazz Festival coming up again this coming summer. And Rob offers great values there where he's putting out a pair of tickets to go see various people at the Jazz Fest.
And the Jazz Cruises.
Yeah.
How cool are they?
And the concerts, too.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. And I'll tell you, like I said, I don't go out as much anymore, recently at least. But... You take the Jazz Cruise, and it's a beautiful evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's great music, good people.
A lot of fun. You know,
and any time spent on the water is a good time.
Erie Canal ride, folks, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I haven't heard one person in all the years that we've been doing complain about it.
And they're booking now.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. That's the point.
So, like I say, it's we're one of the few jazz stations left in the U.S. So
I
if
think
you
there's
like
eight.
If you like jazz music, help us keep going through the holiday season.
Yep. And there's and you can take a look at the local benefits and using your member card and see all the results of you know, where you can get your stuff. It's, you know.
Still have the Soundbites mousepad.
Travel, right, arts and entertainment online. I'm using my Soundbites Qi charger, the wireless charger.
Oh, yeah.
For my phone. I'm using that now, and it's, yep. It's
that little one.
Yeah, a little round one.
I wound up charging it up because I have this vest.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Qi charger where you just put your phone on the charger and it's wireless.
No, I'm talking about that little charger that he gave us.
Yeah, the little battery.
Power bank.
Yeah. I plugged that in because I had this vest. Plugged that in and hit the button and warms up.
Yep.
So I can have on these cooler days, you know, I've got a light coat on and all of a sudden I'm getting a chill. Hit that button and all of a sudden warms up nice and toasty. So, yeah, there's a lot of great gifts there. Plus, I think he still has a bunch of CDs, too. So if you like your jazz music and want to still play it in the car, hey, check all those out, too.
Right. Oh, one of the people in the chat, Wyndham Rats, says, is Steve an Estes fan?
I have flown Estes. Animal Motor Works is good.
Apogee and Estes.
Apogees, yeah. Apogee,
heavy hitters of model rocketry.
I got my level one with a Mad Cow Torrent that I bought from Apogee.
Nice.
So I painted it in cow spots.
Of course you did. Did you name it Gateway?
No. I should have.
We all remember, no, we all. The three of us, at least, remember Gateway computers.
Yeah, the big cows pasture.
Gateway 2000, because it was so far in the future.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And then it was 2000, and then it was 2001, and the Gateway 2000 was kind of an old machine all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, those were, again, less expensive but perfectly usable machines.
They were great for their time. I mean, you could call up and talk to a tech, and they'd put together a system to your specs and have it delivered in a few days.
Yep. Yep.
The cow boxes.
The big cow boxes would come in.
Yeah, show a stack of cow boxes. I remember going to this.
I once asked them, can I get the computer itself in cow pattern?
That would have been cool.
And they said, no, we don't do that. I said, you're missing a bet here.
So there's a third-party company that would custom paint computers in any color you want them.
Yep. But Gateway themselves would not.
No, the one thing that was really missed, and you and I talked to the guy.
Intel, the guy from Intel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we told him right to his face, because he was a big product man. And what we're talking about, folks.
Let me set it up first before you go on. We were at a meeting. We were at St. Stephen's Church.
Yep.
And we were sitting down there, and he said, listen, I want to ask you guys something. What can we do? People don't know our name at the time. People don't know our name. What can we do to get our name out? And we told him.
Yeah, we said, well, you're missing the biggest point. He goes, what's that? We go, every time you turn the computer on, you see all these other things like, you know, the memory count up and everything else. Why not flash the chip with your logo on it?
So that you own the computer before anything else happens. Your processor owns the computer. Use that.
So when it boots up, all of a sudden you would see powered by Intel. And then it can roll on to the rest of the stuff. They never took advantage of that.
No, they never did.
I was on all the TV commercials.
What?
The logo.
You can get the sticker. Yeah. Here's one. Yeah, Intel inside.
Full of stickers. We always said in the Mac world that was a warning.
That was the guy.
Because Apple refused to put the Intel sticker on Intel Macs, even though we had Intel processors.
That was one of the things the guy said. Well, we put the stickers on them, and we went over and said, all right, we peel it off of that and put it on this one. Oh.
Yep.
Didn't have an answer for that one.
Yep.
Stickers are easy to move.
That's the way that stickers are easy, and it was.
But they missed that opportunity because AMD wound up years later coming out that for a few of their motherboards it would say powered by AMD.
Yep.
And you'd see, you know, the red and it was green. I think a green and a black.
Whatever it was,
It was cool.
There was a model of PC. I don't remember the brand, but they didn't like all those stickers. Because a lot of PCs will put the stickers on the bottom so yep. that they don't look as bad, but then they all get rubbed off, especially the Windows license key.
Right.
So there's one model PC that had a slide-out tray with 100 stickers on it.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't have to look at them, but they were all there.
Mm.
So they fulfilled their contract.
Yep.
Well, I can remember, that, like you said, the Windows key code used to rub off all the time. So yep. a lot of manufacturers were taking out the battery. And that little tray where the battery would slide into, they'd put it there.
Yep.
And a lot of people got off. I didn't get a license key. Yes, you did. You had to take out the battery, and people couldn't figure out how to.
Back when there were removable batteries.
Yeah.
Sit there and take out a simple thing like a battery.
Yep. Well, if people don't know. People don't know, and I get it. Well,
and we get mad at Apple now because they etch the serial number on the bottom case, but the computers are gray or black, and they etch it in black. It's really hard.
This makes me crazy.
And if the computer's not working, you can always go to the about box and find the serial number. But if it's right. not working, you gotta.
The first time I got a Chromebook,
and they're so tiny anyway.
Yeah, I got a Chromebook that was green. I turned it over, and that serial number popped.
Yep.
It just popped, and I don't know why they don't do more. Ever, I'm so tired of. Black and white computers. I'm tired of them.
Well, it's no different than HP. You know how they put those service tags
yep.
on it? Well, if you're getting down on the ground trying to look at the service tag, get down underneath, it's a black tag, and I swear they put it in the smallest GD font.
Yep.
I had to go get a magnifying glass, and I've already got bifocals sitting there trying to read this stupid tag number.
Oh, when I was at the bank, I used to have one of the other people come over. I've worn bifocals since I was in third grade, and I'd have that other person come over and say, "Can you read the serial number to me?"
They're so small, the letters run yeah. together. Now, is that a Q
right.
or a yeah. G?
Now, of course, you've got a magnifier on your phone,
yep.
so it's
yeah.
a little different. But,
well, yeah,
and that's the other thing. Wait a minute. I got a complaint. Here's my complaint. The wall warts.
Yeah.
They put the information in gray on a black wall wart.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, that's stupid.
You think?
That's simply stupid.
Even white on black is a little hard to see.
Is
so so some of mine are gray on white.
It's same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. We're talking about the print on these chargers, folks.
You know, I want to find the 2.1 volt charger.
Yeah.
And now I have to look at every one of my old chargers, because apparently I'm too stupid to put a sticker on them, and see, was this a yep. 2.1 or a 1.1? Sorry, go ahead.
We've had a lot of people will bring their iPad in and say it's not charging very fast, and it's because you're using their phone charger. Phone charger yeah. is 5 watts. The iPad charger was 12.
Right. Yeah.
So now everything's going fast charging now. So the iPhone, I think, comes with a 20-watt charger and the iPad with a 30-watt.
Yeah.
Because, heaven forbid, we wait time for our devices to charge.
Well, and the wireless charger, the Qi charger, is slow.
Yeah.
But Qi 2 is supposed to be, what, twice as fast, three yeah. times as fast, yeah. something? I don't remember the number, but it's faster.
Yep, supposed to be twice as fast.
But it isn't out yet. We're mm-hmm. already seeing scam things. You get a Qi 2 charger. No, you don't. They aren't out yet. No. So it's silly, but there you are.
So now if we put up a Tesla tower, we can have wireless power charging. See that? So,
exactly.
So Qi is wireless, but it has to have physical contact.
Well, it has to be within a centimeter, 1.6 centimeters, which is about an inch.
Yeah.
Inch and a half-ish, inch, anyway. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. Yes, and here, and our Chandra says, it's the USB ports. Which ones have the USB 2, 3, the SS logo? You can't see this stuff anymore. Anyway, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in and everybody who chatted on the chat. Is that the right phraseology? I want to thank Dave Enright. I will thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member supported Jazz 90.1. We are done for another week, but we will be back in just 166 hours. And hey, be good to one another, will you? We'll see you next week.